Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be a short time of motivation, inspiration, education, and of course we do it without any manipulation. You might notice we don't try to sell anything. We're not trying to raise support. We're not asking you to give money. We're just asking you to listen. Listen as I try to disseminate God's plan for your life so that you can understand it. I've told you before, God gave you two ends. One of those ends you sit with and one of those ends you think with. And success in your life is going to be depend on which one of those ends you use. So as they say in the world, it's heads you win and tails you lose. You have a brain, you're able to think, you're able to comprehend. And my prayer is that you'll listen to what I'm saying today, that it will make an impact in your life, and you'll be able to respond and orient and adjust to the plan of God in your life. Many years ago, there was a song that came out called The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. I don't know if you remember that or not. It was a Southern Gothic song about the murder of a fella, and pinned it on a guy named Brother, and his sister is the one that did the killing, but he went to jail for it. Reba McEntire re-recorded the song, made it number one on the charts, but the famous words were, "Don't trust your soul to no backwoods Southern lawyer." And one of the questions I want to ask you today, if you think about this, have the lights gone out in America? Have the lights gone out in America? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said in Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world," speaking to his disciples, not just the 12, but to the ones that were following with him, the ones that were there assembled as he just got through with the Beatitudes, and now he's into the similitudes. And he tells them they're the light of the world. He goes on to use an analogy saying that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, the lights are there, people will see it. "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, is the light out in America? This passage in the Similitudes is similar to the Beatitudes given to the followers to demonstrate the impact they would have on the world. The light shines, illuminates, gives perspective and direction. But unfortunately, not all Christians have their lights turned on. It's like people driving at night with no lights. That light might be hidden under a bushel, the Lord Jesus Christ says. And if you're out of fellowship, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you're living into reversionism, your light does not attract anyone. Your light is not shining. And here's the unfortunate thing. Chaos loves darkness. Chaos does not like to be exposed to the light because light illuminates the deception. And what we have today is cosmic chaos in good old U.S. of A. What's the cosmic system? You hear me use that word, cosmic chaos. What is the cosmic system? Well, it's a system that Satan thrives in. It's an environment of confusion known as darkness, and it promotes his agenda both individually and nationally. So let me give you a few points on what the cosmic system actually is before we go too much further. The cosmic system is Satan's strategy as ruler of this world to control believers and unbelievers alike. It's his policy for the rulership of this world. It's called in the Bible evil. The cosmic system of Satan is actually a college, an educational system, a classroom for the indoctrination and the inculcation of Satan's philosophy. And I see it like the tentacles of an octopus that extend out and grab all areas such as politics, religion, education, military, family. This cosmic indoctrination is called human viewpoint thinking. And it's quite attractive to the uninformed and the disadvantaged ones because humanism, socialism, communism are all schools in this evil college designed to educate and promote antagonism towards anything related to God, especially to the grace of God. So in order for Satan to rule this planet, he must educate, and he must establish his authority by promoting two factors. Both the cosmic system and the Christian way of living must be learned to function. You know that. You've heard me talk about that. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the cosmic system has to be learned also. And many people learn it in the classroom of Satan. It's an indoctrination. They have to learn it. Sometimes they learn it through politics. Sometimes they learn it in religion. Sometimes in education. But it's there. So, self-centered thinking related to arrogance, and therefore divorce from reality of God's plan. This is what Satan must do. He must promote self-centered thinking relating to arrogance, which is self-justification, and being divorced from the reality of God's plan. And that's exactly what Satan seeks to do. He also seeks to promote antagonism towards the Word of God. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, they had a national day of repentance after the temple and the walls were rebuilt. And this is what Nehemiah said. They had come out of the Babylonian captivity, and they had come back and rebuilt their walls and rebuilt their city. And Nehemiah said, "They, our fathers, acted arrogantly because they became stubborn, and they would not listen to your mandates. They refused to listen, and they did not remember your wondrous deeds which you performed among them." Nehemiah 9:11-15 talks about the wondrous deeds, all the things that God did while they wandered in the wilderness. They divided the Red Sea, let them cross so Pharaoh couldn't kill them. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day over the tabernacle. He gave them bread and water to eat and sustain them, and he gave the law at Mount Sinai. And here's something interesting. In verse 21 of Nehemiah 9, it says, "Their clothes never wore out and their feet did not swell." Isn't that interesting? One reason America is operating under the cosmic chaos that I'm speaking about is because the wisdom of God's word has been silenced in the public arena. This deafening silence, crickets, you know, like, listen carefully about God being taught in a school. Crickets, don't hear anything, do you? These crickets guarantee confusion and destruction of a client nation such as good old U.S. of A., because we've forgotten God's grace through two world wars and many national tragedies. Because all we do is we kind of look at the gifts and forget who the giver was. Could this be why this nation seemed to be completely upside down with what I call bottom dwellers calling the shots in our current state of affairs? Chaos in the streets, chaos in the home. We cannot survive this much longer without a complete internal meltdown in this client nation. In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is like a lady. Wisdom speaks as a person to tell what will happen if we neglect God's warning. Listen to Proverbs 1:24-33. And this is the lady called Wisdom speaking. "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid any attention, and you neglected all of my counsel, and you did not want any of my reproof. So I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your dread comes. When your dread comes in like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call on me, but I won't answer you. Then they will seek me, but they won't find me, because they hated knowledge." In other words, they enjoyed the cosmic system knowledge. That's what they wanted. They wanted Satan's cosmic system. They didn't want the knowledge of the Word of God. "You did not choose to respect the Lord, and you would not accept my counsel. You spurned all of my reproof. So, for that reason, you will eat of the fruit of your own way and be satiated with your own devices." And then listen to this warning in verse 32. "For the waywardness of the stupid will kill them, and the complacency of a fool will destroy him. But the one who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil." What an appropriate warning for client nation USA today. When God's word is rejected and neglected, chaos rules and the day and darkness cover the land. Chaos rules the day and darkness covers the land. So those of us like yourself and myself, anyone who's acquired any biblical wisdom and says anything, we've been demonized and marginalized by the cosmic thinkers who choose to reject establishment principles, who choose to reject divine viewpoint thinking. Here's one, for example, the Freedom from Religious Foundation is an American nonprofit organization which advocates for atheists, agnostics, non-theists, It was formed in 1976 and promoted the separation of church and state and challenges the legitimacy of many federal and state programs that are faith-based. It supports groups such as non-religious students and clergy who want to leave their faith. And it's real. And they enter lawsuits every day against God. Public evangelism is all but shut down in the public arena, and more crickets you can hear. Thus, generations of young people never hear Bible instruction, never hear anything that's alternative to the lifestyle promoted on social media. Thus, they only have one thing to turn to. They only have the cosmic rationale to determine what's right and what's wrong. How can they know if they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone goes to tell? And how can someone tell unless they're allowed to speak? Suppose I lead a student to Christ in a private school, or even in a public school. His conversion, what is that going to hurt? He accepts Christ. He has eternal life. He has a change of lifestyle. Now he's no longer a bully. Now he's no longer arrogant. Now he's an honor roll student. Now he begins to quit his lying, begins to quit his drug use, begins to quit his immorality. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with leading people to Christ and seeing such a wonderful lifestyle change? I was in a school many years ago where there was a student who was just the most obnoxious student in the world. I mean, they wanted to get rid of him. They hated him. Puked up at a senior prom, took a swing at a police officer, cussed out the headmaster. I was able to lead that young man to Christ in a personal encounter. And I didn't see him for several months after I left, but I got a letter from him. About 6 months later, I got a letter from him, and he said, "Do you remember me? I'm McKay, and I'm at Parris Island in the Marine Corps boot camp." 6 months later, which is up to a year now, I came back to that school to speak again. It was the same time that that young man got out, graduated from boot camp, and came back home and visited the school in his uniform, and he was entirely different. His friends didn't recognize him. He had accepted Christ. He had grown in God's Word. He'd become establishment-oriented. What's wrong with that? Why do we not want anyone to have an opportunity like that? I fear satanic opposition is cloaked in political decisions made for less than 10% of our population. Chaos in America comes from the lack of biblical instruction. The biblical instruction that offers forgiveness and a new life in Christ. And satanic recruitment still goes on, while any mention of God's grace in Christ is shut down. Crickets, nothing heard. Chaos is here, my friend. It's here in America, and I've got news for you. Much worse is coming. This lack of biblical wisdom in positions of leadership, such as parents or politician, leaves only one source of guidance, cosmic thinking. Think about it this way. Where do you form what's true and not true? Either from the Bible or from God's Word or from the cosmic system, which is Satan's college of indoctrination. What choice do they have? They only get one way to hear it. They can hear it from social media all day long, what's right and what's wrong, but not from the Bible. We don't want them hearing from the Bible. Oh, no, don't let them hear that. Why? Because Satan's in control. We are governed by many fools in leadership positions, that have no idea of what the divine institutions are. And these fools seek to lead and lead us discernment based on their own flawed views of humanism and socialism. It's called cosmic thinking, human viewpoint. Imagine a tornado swirling around in your mind. It's called a cosmic vortex. And imagine it pulling people into it and spinning them off and throwing them across the country, throwing them across the field. This is what happens when people get into the cosmic system. They get swallowed up in the cosmic vortex and their lives get displaced. This is why if we continue on the track we're on, we will not survive as a free nation much longer. Not much longer, I promise you. So why can I say that? Proverbs 12:15 tells you, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." That's arrogance. That's cosmic blindness from arrogant self-image. The arrogant person has an unrealistic self-image. He has unrealistic expectations. He justifies why he's right and the rest of the world is wrong. Can you imagine someone saying, God is wrong, I'm right, I'm smarter than God, I know what's best? Can you imagine politicians that won't even seek to pray and look for answers in God's Word about what we should do in our nation today? There are at least several different ways in which the cosmic system influences people, especially unbelievers. Here's one that's kind of frightening. It's called demon possession. Not for believers, oh no, no, but for unbelievers, yes. It's defined as a demon invasion of the body of an unbeliever by one or even more demons. You can see it in the Bible. It's there. Because of the indwelling of the members of the Godhead, no demon can indwell you or me or any believer at all. But this demon possession cannot occur without the unbeliever's consent. Even the unbeliever, the person who's rejected Christ, the disadvantaged one, he has at least his volition to protect him. But under certain conditions, demons do enter the body of unbelievers. Then we have demon influence, and this is where Christians can get influenced and come under demon invasion of thinking by falling under cosmic influence. The number one tool is organized religion, cosmic influence. And then the influence of the cosmic system itself. In John 2:15 and 16, the Word of God strictly says, stop loving the world. Stop loving the cosmos or anything related to the cosmos. This is a very radical mindset. It's a very narrow approach to life. Because happiness is not found in the details of life. It's not found in circumstances. It's not found in people. Getting involved in the cosmic system leads to living in the darkness and being out of fellowship, which we call temporal death if you're a Christian. No humility, no reception, no retention of the Word of God. That's what happens when you're in the cosmic system. The cosmic lie is seen in Jeremiah 7:8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Social media is full of this today. You can achieve your dreams. That's a cosmic misleading. That's all you hear people talk about. Dream your dream, kid. Dream your dream, and you can live your dream. You can achieve your dreams. Listen, God's plan for you is so much greater than what you could dream or even come up with in your mind. You cannot even believe what God would do for you if you would learn His Word and apply it into your life. Greater than any dream you ever believed in. Because happiness is not found in people. Happiness is not found in circumstances. Jesus Christ said happiness belongs to those people who hear My Father's Word and keep it. But negative volition, saying no to Bible instruction, being distractions from the details of life, that winds up luring believers, even Christians, into cosmic thinking. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're chasing the details of life, you're thinking that your happiness is based on how much money you make or who you marry or where you live, or you have no desire to learn, study, and apply God's Word into your life. Oh, yes, you have a Bible. I didn't say you didn't. And occasionally you go to church, okay, that's great, but you don't hear anything because you're thinking about where you're going for lunch. You certainly don't apply it if you did hear it. And so you live under the cosmic lie. Any inventory of the Word of God has been forgotten, and you have now allowed yourself to be a tool of Satan to influence other people. And I can assure you, Satan gets a big laugh out of you and your Christian life. Our Lord warned His disciples about the influence of this cosmic thinking in John 16:1-4. Here's what He said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling." What's He talking about when He said, "these things"? Well, in John 15:18, He said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that they hated Me first. And if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own," the cosmic system. "As it is," the Lord said, "you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you." Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. "And if they persecuted Me, they will persecute you as well. And if they obeyed My teaching, they will obey yours as well. But they will treat you this way because of My name, for they do not know the one that sent Me." Our Lord knew the intense pressure these disciples were going to face once He departed. And these words of warning were to prepare them for the attack of the cosmic system. What was coming? The cosmic system is not your friend. Make no mistake about it. You face the same opposition from the cosmic designer. Thus, you have been warned in the Bible in Ephesians 6, 11 through 17 to suit up. Put on the armor of God so you can stand against the strategy of Satan. The devil knows you and he has a strategy to defeat you. He's able to discredit you. He's able to discern what is your weaknesses. And if you don't suit up, if you don't learn that armor of God, we've taught on that on this radio show. If you haven't heard it, let me know and we'll send you the series on the armor of God. But you must suit up. Because it's through distractions and discouragement from the cosmic system that you could be neutralized as a representative of the Lord. Unfortunately, maybe you already have. Cosmic chaos you face in the coming years is designed to intimidate you, designed to humiliate you, until you fall victim to the arena of contention, until you're set aside as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Lord said the cosmic system is going to hate you, and that's intimidation to quieten you and your impact for Christ. Have you been intimidated because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been quietened because of your faith? You're not here to go out and preach to people and tell them straighten up, fly right, or you're going to hell because you smoke, because you drink, because you did this, because you did that. You're here as a light to be attractive to the unbeliever. To let the unbeliever see what your life is like. A life of contentment, a life of love, a life of prosperity, a life of hope, a life of forgiveness, and to be attracted to that. Bugs are attracted to light. Whenever I'm on my back porch with the light on, bugs come from everywhere. And if you are the light the Lord is speaking of, you will be attractive to individuals that are lost. But the Bible said they were going to be outcasts. The Bible said those disciples would be persecuted. In John 16:2, he told them they're going to be cast out. In John 16:2, he told them the world would seek to eliminate them by death, and that's the religious crowd he's speaking about. Notice he predicted it would happen, and they were to remember that he forewarned them. He did not tell them these things earlier because he was still with them in John 16:4, so he didn't tell them that yet. But nothing's changed today, except the deceiver, a.k.a. the devil, has more tools to use against you. Social media, mass entertainment, 24/7 communication, etc., etc., etc. Even that cell phone you have in your back pocket, in your purse, is a tool to educate you in the way of thinking of the cosmic system. Satan has a target-rich environment today. Millions of individuals in this country are completely oblivious to God's grace of forgiveness because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. They're oblivious to the whole thing. Not only are they being withheld information on forgiveness of sin, but they're completely unaware of the unique spiritual life available to them through the filling of the Holy Spirit and by means of the dynamics of the Word of God available to them. So it's sad to see. It's sad to see desperate people seeking happiness doing despicable things that only bring death and destruction in the most unpleasant way. And all the while the enemy laughs. He laughs at it and abuses those who have no resources for a life of contentment and a life of capacity for love. It's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. What's the solution for these misguided souls in these times of confusion and chaos? This is where you and I come in. See, we are God's ambassadors with His message of love and forgiveness, and there will be a price to be paid for that. If you carry that message forth, it's going to cost you. Matthew 9, and Jesus went about in all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Some plant seeds, some harvest the seeds. But in this chaotic climate of our current days of chaos and conflict, You are the individual tasked with this job. Therefore, Matthew 10 says, freely you've received, freely you must give. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ went to them before they ever came to him because he was moved with compassion. It was empathy towards those that were deceived, deserted by organized religion, and he was moved in his soul due to their lost condition. They were deceived by organized religion and distraught over circumstances in life, and they were faint, the Bible said. They were weary, the Bible says, scattered abroad like sheep without a shepherd, no direction in their life, and in danger of being captured or even destroyed. Our Lord considered these as worth saving. They were his people who had no hope, and some that no doubt had been cast out of the local synagogues due to sinful acts. But there is nothing worse than a soul in torment with no one to help him, no one to guide him, no one to give him direction or answers. And that's where you come in the picture. I hope you're listening. You must be the light. You must be the person who stands up and represents Christ to your community. You must understand this is a cosmic system, chaos going on. There's a war going on. And Satan is seeking to win it by educating his followers. And anyone who doesn't understand the will of God, the word of God, they get sucked into the cosmic vortex on a daily basis. There's so much I can offer you, so much information I can give you. If you want to learn it, write to us. We have a new book out on Christian problem solving. It's free. We have other books that are available, but you have to learn. You have to come to understand how God's plan works, what the process is. Please get in touch with us. Let us give you that information and encourage you in your walk for Christ. We'll come back next week, same time, same place, same station. We would appreciate your prayers for us as we step out on faith to bring these shows to you. I appreciate you listening, and I thank you for your time. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all without any manipulation, no con games, no asking for money, no soliciting any membership, nothing like that. Just trying to give you some information so you can verify as well as identify God's wonderful plan for your life, and if you want to, then you can orient and adjust the plan. Flot, F-L-O-T, is the name of the show. Some people think it's Flatline, Flightline, different things, but Flot, F-L-O-T, stands for Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T, Forward Line of Troops. What we're trying to do is show you that you can build a main line of resistance in your soul based on 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. If you will learn them and use them, then it's possible for you to stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's right, adversity we know is inevitable, but stress we know is optional because adversity is what circumstances do to you, but stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. So if you're interested in living a life like this, it's called the Christian life. It's a marvelous life. It's a way to live without worry. It's a way to live without fear. It's a way to live without bitterness. It's a way to live without implacability. It's a wonderful way to live, and it comes from the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you're going to live like he lived, you have to live, you have to learn to think like he thought. And therefore, in Romans 12, the Bible says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think. But think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. Humility was the mindset of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because Philippians 2:5 says he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. That's exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. He demonstrated that it's possible to live in the devil's world stress-free. Not free of adversity, but stress-free. And it's possible to live in the devil's world using these wonderful problem-solving devices that he taught us. For example, how to confess your sin called rebound, 1 John 1:9. He taught the disciples that in John chapter 13 at the foot-washing episode. And then he taught them that they could be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would indwell them and fill them and seal them. And you can have that in your life as well. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are indwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit as long as you're dealing with your sins consistently. It's when you don't confess your sin that you quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. But rebound, filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, standing on the promises of God. If you're interested in these, we have a new book out called Christian Problem Solving. It's free. As always, everything on our show is free. We don't sell information. We're not trying to mass a large amount of money. We do trust the Lord to help pay our bills, that's for sure. But this book is available free of charge. If you want to get in touch with us, go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, and drop us a note and say, I'd like to get that book, Christian Problem Solving. I remind you, this radio show is playing this morning in over 100 cities across America, everywhere from Sacramento, San Diego, San Francisco, to Detroit, to Green Bay, to Albuquerque, to Atlanta, to Anchorage, Alaska, to Las Vegas, New Mexico, all around Las Vegas, Nevada, all around the world, all over the United States. We're playing this radio show, and that's a really wonderful opportunity that I have to put the Word of God out there. Now, when you're taking the Bible and learning the Bible, there have to be some observation as well as interpretation, and then obviously the application where you apply it into your life. Observation, interpretation, and then application. So here's a verse, and I want to tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about liars, lying. It seems the whole national pastime in America today is lying. Proverbs 12:22 says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. Lying. Who does the lying? Who's the one telling the lies? Well, the cosmic system, the cosmos, is full of lies. Because it's the devil's world, and he operates in darkness called lying. The number one liar in our life today is organized religion and politics, those two things. And because they give you false ideas and false hopes based on the narrative that's not true. So lying lips are an abomination, and the Hebrew word for abomination is tobah, and it means disgusting or abhorrent to God. So you can get this from this verse, the Heavenly Father does not deal lightly with those who lie. In Colossians 3:9-10, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed after the image of its creator. Renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You are told here in this verse to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Renewed in knowledge means learning how to live the Christian life. You don't automatically just wake up a Christian when you accept Christ as your Savior and understand everything God has for you. You have to learn how to live the Christian life. There are mechanics involved. This is where we have problems today in our churches in America. No one wants to teach mechanics. Heck, I went to a Bible college that didn't teach me mechanics. I mean, they taught me the Bible. I understood that. But the mechanics of being a spiritual believer, the mechanics of spiritual growth, or what even is the spiritual life? No one ever mentioned that to me in Bible college. What is the spiritual life? You have to learn what it is, learn how to live it, execute the spiritual life, and know that it's after the image of the Creator. In other words, we're to replicate Christ. We're to be occupied with Christ. That's problem-solving device number 10. In Psalm 34:13, the Bible tells you definitely keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Those are two different things. Evil is the genius of Satan. Grace is the genius of God. So when the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. Grace is God's operating system. But Satan will take grace and twist it, and he'll put a half a turn onto it and make it sound like the original, but it's not. Here's the example. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's grace. Here's Satan. For by grace are you saved, plus giving up eating peanuts and popcorn and pecans. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. But that's what he does. He takes grace and puts a half a twist on it. It sounds real. It sounds like the real thing, but it's not. He's a liar. He's always been a liar, and that's what he does. So lying seems to be a national pastime in America today, not only from the devil himself, but from those of us that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis, whether it's a little bitty white lie or sometimes a bold-faced lie. You know you're all tempted. Well, I'm tempted. We're all tempted to lie at some point in our lives. Politicians lie, preachers lie, police officers lie, people lie. The national tragedy is this in America, that we're being lied to daily, every day, in order to shape a narrative or to create some sort of deception. Politics and religion are two of the biggest liars in the national disease of lying. Remember, nobody set you down, taught you how to lie. I mean, you didn't go to lying 101 to learn how to do it. It's part of your genetic makeup as a member of the human race. And the same is true for hatred, for jealousy. You were born with these character flaws that originated from your sin nature. You knew how to lie early on when you were just a child, and your mama would say, "Did you do that?" And you'd say, "No, ma'am, I did not do that." And yes, you did. You know you did, but you lied. And you say, "Well, it was just a little white lie." Yeah, but white lies, little white-faced lies, led to big bold-faced lies. So Romans 5:12 tells us this. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We are born spiritually dead. We are born separated from God. But the original lie came from Satan. The temperament of the cosmic system is lying. It's the whole temperament of the cosmic system. And it originated with Satan in the Garden of Eden to begin with. And this is very interesting. Here's what he told Eve. "Now, when the serpent was more deceptive than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made, he," the serpent, "said unto the woman, 'Yea, has God said to you, you should not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Question mark. "And the woman said unto the serpent, 'Well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said we should not eat of that, nor should we touch it, lest we die.' And the serpent," which is a.k.a. the devil, "said to the woman, 'You are not going to die.'" That's a lie. That was a bold-faced lie. They did die. Not physically, but died spiritually. And you are born spiritually dead because of this. This is why you have to be born again, to be made alive again in Christ Jesus. You're born spiritually dead. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and you're spiritually dead. When you accept Christ as your Savior, when you're born again, the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You're made spiritually alive. But Satan lied. "You're not going to die." Yes, she did die. And Adam died. And then Satan went on to impugn the name of God. Here's what he said in verse 5 and Genesis 3. "For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil." So Satan accused God of not being honest. He accused God of covering up things. That's what Satan does. He's a liar. Our Lord Jesus Christ describes Satan as the father of lies. In John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." By the way, he's speaking to the religious community there. "He," a.k.a. the devil, "was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies." There is no truth in him. Have you met individuals like this that just they can't tell the truth? You don't know whether to believe them or not believe them. And that's what we're getting to in America today. A nation of liars. People are obsessed with lying for one reason or another, and we'll talk about that. The devil has a college of deception. I call it the cosmic system. And in that college of deception called the cosmic system, there's a curriculum based on lies. And those are called human viewpoint thinking. If you learn from this college of the cosmic system and repeat what you learn, then you're going to be complicit with Satan and spread his false narrative about the world and about the flesh and about what's going on. You see, he's a liar, and everything you learn in his system is a liar. this client nation, and I'm going to quote now from someone, I don't really know the name of this person, but I ran across it and I liked it, what I'm about to tell you. They didn't call it a client nation, they called it a nation. But they said this nation, and I say client nation, USA America, is lost in a whirlwind of lies, destined to grow into a tornado of tragedy, and ultimately result in a cascade of consequences. You know as well as I know, you don't know who to believe when it comes to the virus, for example. What's going on? You don't know whether you should take the shot or not take the shot. You don't know whether you can get the virus or not get the virus. You don't know who to believe politically, whether you believe this one or whether you believe that one. You don't know who's lying and who's telling the truth. That's the way Satan works. He's the father of lies because lies are told in the darkness and lies are confusing and lies are designed to confuse you so that you cannot make the right decision. The number one lie of organized religion is this. Do you know what it is? What's the number one lie told in organized religion? It's salvation by working for it, and not by faith alone, in Christ alone. This is the number one lie, and it's a common misconception in organized religion. Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's how you're justified, by grace. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't drink. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't cuss. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't fornicate. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't do anything. All the work has been done on the cross. Christ Himself paid for our sin. He redeemed us out of the slave market of sin. He paid the penalty. That's why the Bible says He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God by means of Him. So the misconception in organized religion is that you can save yourself by being good, by being a moral person, by being nice, by not doing bad things. That's a lie. You will go straight to hell when you die if you think that you're going to go to heaven based on how good you are. That God's going to look at you and say, well, I can see you were a pretty good boy, pretty good girl. You didn't do too bad, so I'm going to let you come in. You, on a scale of 1 to 10, you were only like a 7, but the 5s and the 4s, they can't get in. That's stupid. That's not what the Bible teaches. You know, this whole thing has gone haywire today. 25 July in 2021, there was an article written in the Western Journal reporting this, American church has fallen. The American church has fallen. I'm quoting this article now. It talked about the shocking poll that showed that fake Christianity has supplanted the biblical worldview. Did you hear that? Fake Christianity has supplanted the biblical worldview. Writing for the journal, the Western Journal, Rachel Bratton said this, American Christianity has fallen thanks to a cultural corrosion and a lack of biblical literacy, and a new fake Christianity is now being preached within the American church. I'm going to say this again. It's amazing. She saw this. Thanks to cultural corrosion and a lack of biblical literacy, a new fake Christianity is now being preached within the American church. Lack of literacy means you don't take the Bible literal. You think it means something else. It's not really talking about a real hell is a real place where people burn. No, it doesn't really mean that. Yes, it does mean that. And cultural corrosion, there's no doubt about that. What used to be evil is now proved as good. In the 50s and the 60s, certain things that we knew was evil, certain things would have never gotten past first base. Now we applaud it as they march up and down the street and proclaim their rights. And we say, well, it's okay. They're good people. They may have a different cultural desire, but they're basically good people. Well, good is now evil, and evil is now good. That's the way you've heard me say it before. What used to be evil is now good, and what used to be good is now evil. You're evil if you don't believe those lies that are told to you in the media concerning certain situations we'll talk about here in a minute. She went on to say this counterfeit religion is a moralistic therapeutic deism. That's a lot to say. Moralistic therapeutic deism. And that means it's a worldview that's quickly gained prominence and given many Americans some sort of theology that looks nothing like historical Christianity, despite what they claim. She then went on to cite the recent work of George Barna. You say, who's that? He's head of the Barna Group that specializes in studying religious beliefs and the behavior of Americans at the intersection of faith and culture. She went on to quote him, whose February survey showed that the moralistic therapeutic deism, or MTD, is nothing more than a watered-down, feel-good, fake Christianity, and it's the most popular worldview in the United States of America today. The faith that motivated Americans today is not the singular faith proclaimed by John Wesley, who said, you must be singular or be damned, or the confident faith of St. Paul that said Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, nor is it the creedal conviction of the early church where they would say, I believe in God the Father, and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, remember that, Creator of heaven and earth, believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Nope, the contemporary church faith isn't even anchored in the bold exclusivity of Jesus Himself, who said these words, the words that are no way around it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. The new religion in America isn't anything this stable. It isn't anything this historical. It isn't anything this enduring or deep or true. It's some sort of synchronistic amalgamation of Bobby McFerrin, who was a folk jazz singer known for his vocal techniques, and Black Lives Matter, some sad sloppism. Sloppism is the self is all we can, is that self is all that we can be, all. Let me say that again. The self is all that can be known to exist. So the sad sloppism, I'm going to spell that word yet, S-O-L-I-P-S-I-S-M, sloppism, of don't worry, be happy, as we all celebrate the queering of all that ails us. And I'm not talking about homosexuals. Queering is a legitimate word in the dictionary. It means to spoil or ruin. And so this is what he's saying. This synchronistic amalgamation is ruining us. This is a lie of organized religion that goes on every Sunday in many, many churches. Another number two lie of organized religion is this. Religion often teaches that morality is equivalent to spirituality, and that's a lie. Spirituality comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit, and morality comes from the strength of the sin nature. Not cussing, not drinking, not doing sinful deeds does not mean you're living the spiritual life. This is an area where Satan has had a lot of success in organized religion, because the wrong type of good works is a specialty of the cosmic system through religion and humanism. Yep, the wrong type of good works. And that's where you get involved in some sort of protest, some sort of trying to clean up the devil's world. You're not going to clean up the devil's world. You're not going to go to heaven because you're involved in protesting and organizing, trying to clean up the devil's world. Human good is not acceptable to God. Why? Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean things, and all of unrighteousness as all of us as unrighteousness as filthy rags, and we all of us do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, this spiritual condition of the material believer is a sad thing to see, because they don't understand what the Christian life really is. You can't clean yourself up and get to heaven. You can't clean yourself up and be a crusader and impress God. We are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. Nasty, filthy, dirty, oily, greasy rag. And we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The best thing you can do does not impress God. So, that's a lie of organized religion. Spirituality is a wonderful thing. It means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Maturity is the even better thing, That means you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're being a mature believer. You're replicating the life of Christ as you're supposed to do. And then there's political lies given to establish a false narrative and promote the evil thinking of the cosmic system. You know, you've heard it, global warming. Global warming, science-based theory that unless you stop doing certain things like driving your car around and burning gasoline, that you're going to destroy the world. I have news for you. Only God can destroy what God created. If you want to see how it's going to be destroyed, you read in your Bible 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 through 12, and you will see how the world will be destroyed. But you're not going to destroy it because you drive a gasoline-powered automobile. Global warming is a lie. Internationalism is a lie, that we all are brothers. We're not all brothers. God separated the nations in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, and designed different languages, put people in different places, and we're not all designed to be the same. I do a lot of fishing. I can promise you, bass don't swim with brim. They eat them. Brim don't swim with catfish. Catfish don't swim with crappie. God made us different for a reason. So back to telling lies. Let me ask you this question as we wrap the show up today. Have you lied this week to your spouse, to your boss, even to the government? If you're a Christian, this is considered one of the sins that God despises. Proverbs 6:16 tells us this. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, wait a minute, seven are an abomination unto him. Here they are. Listen to them clearly. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. That's a gossiper or a slanderer. These sins break fellowship with God, and they quench his Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you must confess anything like that quickly. Because James tells you, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed. But man cannot tame his own tongue. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly, evil thing full of deadly poison. You have to learn to live the spiritual life to contain the tongue. Everything the tongue says starts as a thought in the brain. And bitterness and vituperation start as some sort of mental attitude sin. So get this down and remember this carefully. If you lie to other people, you will lie to yourself. It's called self-deception. It's one of the stages of arrogance. If you have self-deception, you have unrealistic self-image. In other words, you want to be treated in a way you're not worthy of being treated. National lies are indicative of national destruction. I'm going to run out of time before I have a chance to tell you about that, but you can read about it in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. America is destined to be destroyed unless something changes quickly, because we are people that love to lie, and we live in lies. And we can't go on like this much longer. Only you can change the course of history, and that means your spiritual life is a credit to you. As goes your personal spiritual life, so goes the history of this nation. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning, and I hope you will apply this information. If you'd like to get that book called Christian Problem Solving, write to us, rickhughesministries.org. We'll send it out ASAP, free of charge. Thank you for being here this morning, and I hope you'll pray for us as we prepare next week's message. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, same station. We hope you continue to listen. Write to us if you have a question, any time, any place, any day. We're there to answer that question for you. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Some things in